بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعليه وصحابه اجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Okay, so first off, before we start this podcast, I just want to give a shout out and a thank you to Human Appeal for reaching out to us to help us and allow us to fundraise for rebuilding homes in Sudan. So if you can support that, the link will be in the description. We're fundraising throughout all of Ramadan, inshallah. So
inshallah,
what better way to give back to than your brothers and sisters, especially if you're someone who is more fortunate than they are. But let's get into this podcast now. So as a continuation from last week, we still want to talk about, you know, the month of Ramadan. And like, we're going to talk about things, especially for some of us as young Muslims, that plague us today, which is something that me and the brothers, we actually didn't, I guess, either talk about too much, or we didn't struggle with it enough, which is wasting your time, especially on things like social media and scrolling on the internet. And I remember we used to talk about a lot how we'd have a lot of like Islamic content or content that wasn't like, you know, that didn't feel like you were wasting time. But nowadays it feels like the algorithms, they push things to your feed that makes you want to keep scrolling. Dude,
and that's exactly what's been happening to me lately. And I kid you not, the brain rot literally feels real. And I thought I was an unaffected person by this until I literally see in other things, like it's harder to get up and do certain things. It's harder to stay off the phone. You want to open your phone. You want to look at this and that. You want to watch these videos to the end. You just want to keep scrolling until till the end of Instagram.
You know, like, subhanAllah, I'll expose myself a little bit. I knew it got bad. Like, now I'm trying to stop it completely. I knew it got bad in the gym. In between sets, I'm scrolling. When I want to go to the bathroom, I'm scrolling. When I'm cooking, I'm scrolling. It was every single moment of the day, I was scrolling. Every single opportunity that I had during my lectures, I'm scrolling. It got so bad. I remember, you know what clocked me the realization that it hit, I'm wasting time. Like, Shaitan, he's been whispering to me. I haven't acknowledged it. I was watching a video. It was like I was watching a tarantula and like a cockroach fight. And I'm like, I'm like, what am I doing right now?
Yep.
It is like, subhanAllah.
Dude, bro, speaking of that, bro, I got caught up in one of those loop videos where look, it was like one of those things, like it was like a little ball. It was gonna go towards the hole, then it would reset. Then it would go to the, and I'm just sitting there watching. I'm like, dude, 30 seconds have gone by and we're still sitting in the same place. And that's literally my fault why I didn't catch that on earlier. But it's because I've been scrolling all day. I can't even remember the video I watched 5 minutes ago. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, if I really see something that I want to look at later, I'm like, all right, I got to save this video. And then I'm like, bro, I saved so many videos. I come back, I'm like, dude, no way I just saved 20 different videos. I don't know why I'm watching all these.
And it makes me think, bro, years ago, like around COVID time, social media used to be all surrounded by Islam, and like I used to always, it used to be nothing but Islam, right? Now it's not like that. And I got in this habit of scrolling because I used to think it was beneficial for me. And now it's like, I'm just wasting my time on completely useless things. And it took me the crazy thing is I didn't even realize it. It's like I'm a zombie.
But here's the thing though. Like every time I see like an Islamic video or something beneficial, like I always like it, save it, try to share it so that those types of things can pop up on the algorithm.
Exactly. I'll be double tapping.
It still be sending me bull crap.
No, that's the crazy thing actually, because like you guys are speaking, like just even a year ago, I'd like Islamic videos, and then those would be like the only things that pop up on my feed. And especially like on an app like TikTok, I'd scroll and, you know, I might have something that's like entertaining, like an edit or something, but then it'd go to an Islamic video. Nowadays, subhanAllah, it's like, my feed is a whole bunch of edits, a whole bunch of brain rot, and then it's like one Islamic video. Yep. So then sometimes I might scroll past the Islamic video, but then I'm like, no, hold up. Let me go back real
exactly.
quick so I can watch it real quick. But then I started thinking to myself, if it feels like a burden for me to watch an Islamic video, then something's wrong. Like I shouldn't even be on social media.
Matter of fact, speaking about that, bro, dude, I started like really noticing, all right, now it's hard to sit down here and listen to a lecture. Like honestly speaking, I'm like, dude, I'm trying to sit here and like listen to the same 30-minute lecture, and it's like, bro, it's just not feeling like it's hitting the same versus before. I'd sit there 2, 3, 4, 5 hour debates or any type of lecture, and like I'd sit there and like I was eager to sit there and like learn the next thing and hear the next thing. But it's now, it's just like, bro, now watching something 20-30 minutes has become hard, and I'm like, dude, like this is actually kind of scary, right? Because now it's like, dude, is it having an effect on my iman,
bro? SubhanAllah, it's crazy we're talking about this, because this might be one of the biggest things in our generation that nobody's talking about. is doom scrolling. You're wasting your brain. And it's like, I remember I used to be able to watch those types of videos, those hour long videos. I can't no more. My attention span is destroyed, cooked. I can't even like, I can't watch it without Subway Surfers. It's like, bro, subhanAllah. Now I'm thinking about it and I'm realizing like, this really does need to be talked about and it has to be addressed because, and it's also, like I said earlier, that my For You page being like completely Islamic, why is that? Like, is there no Islamic content creators no more? There's no one clipping up the lectures. Like, I don't see this content anymore. Is it because the algorithm's not pushing it? I don't know, but it's like, subhanAllah.
That's honestly what it feels like, that these algorithms, for some reason, they're not pushing like a specific type of feed. Like, if you only want to see Islamic videos, if you only want to see like the lectures or content creators who make Islamic videos or reminders, they're not just pushing those people out to you. They're pushing out everything for you so that you can get a mix of Islam, so you can get a mix of brain rot, so you can get a mix of this type of entertainment. Because for some reason, at least TikTok, they know what I'd be watching. Like, I'll watch a TV show, and then all of a sudden, for the next, like, 3 weeks, I'm getting edits of this TV show. And I'm like, how does this even happen? How y'all even know I watched this show, bro? I didn't even search you up or anything on my phone. So how do you know that I was watching this TV show? And then all of a sudden, my feed is filled with these yep. edits. And subhanAllah, when I started, like, really deeping it, I was like, this short-form content, there's, like, a defect. Especially right now with the month of Ramadan coming up, we're all going to be sitting here trying to be like, oh, I want to lessen the amount of scrolling that I'm doing throughout the day. I'm trying to focus on my ibadah. How are you going to do that if you're still like doom scrolling right now? If you're on the brain rot all day long and you have no idea what you're actually doing, right? You're entertained, you're laughing, you might be learning something, whatever it may be, but you're not sitting here and actually like spending time with yourself or spending time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the social media has got you in such a chokehold that you have no idea like what you're actually doing with your time.
Dude, exactly, bro. And you got to understand how valuable your time is. Time is the only type of currency that we spend that we don't know how much we have left of. I really think about it. Every time you have a certain amount of money, you know, you have an idea of how much money you have. But your time, you don't know how much time you have. You don't know if you're going to wake up the next morning. You don't know if you're going to make it to this afternoon. You don't know if you're going to make it to wherever you want to go. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that we really have to implement in our minds, and something that really stuck up to me that you said literally last week, right? Because you were like, oh, I'm feeling kind of tired today. Like, does your iman like matter upon how you're feeling that day? Like, I noticed like, okay, yeah, yesterday it was kind of hard to wake up for Fajr. And then I remember what he said. Like, it doesn't matter how I'm feeling. If I'm extra tired today, I still got to wake up. I still got to do my duties, right? Because if I don't, then, you know, this could be my last day. This could be my ultimate test right here. Were you tired and did you still get up? Or no, because of your feeling, you thought you had some sort of excuse.
No, subhanAllah, actually, that's real, because I was sick. I was sick with the flu like last week. And I was telling Usman, I was like, bro, stay away from me because like I'm feeling cooked. He kept asking me, oh, did you eat? Did you do this? And then he's like, he's looking at me. He's like, damn, bro, the sickness got you cooked. I was like, yeah, bro. I was like, bro, I've been struggling. Because like, subhanAllah, the sickness had me feeling so bad that I was struggling to pray because I couldn't focus because I'm getting nauseous. I have a fever. I'm coughing. Everything was just going wrong. But then I was like, My happiness can't be tied to how my iman is feeling that day. Because regardless of if your iman is high or if it's low, you're still going to want to pray, right? That's what a disciplined Muslim is going to be. That's what someone who's consistent doing those deeds, the most beloved things to Allah is the things that are consistent, even if they're small, right? But prayer, that's your biggest action. That's the first thing you're asked about. So you're still going to do it even when your iman is low, even when you're not feeling it as much. Because who knows? That's sincerity in itself.
I was going to say that's the real test, because if we're being tested and everything was just made upon easy for you, then you're not really being tested.
Facts. Exactly.
But it's the hard times that really test you. And the hard times are what's really going to shape you into the person that you want to become.
And you want to know something that's going to, like, an advice that will keep you disciplined. And, you know, this is from the Quran. Like, especially take this going into Ramadan. It's Surah Al-Asr. Three verses. Wal Asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Think about that. In time, mankind is in due loss. They're in loss. So why do you spend your time worrying about being entertained? Why do you spend your time worrying about other people? Some people focus on so much other than themselves, they become disregardable to themselves. They'll do anything because they don't have no self-worth, no self-respect. They'll let anybody treat them any way they want because they don't even, in their mind, in their thoughts, they don't even consider themselves.
SubhanAllah, what you're mentioning right now, it's so beautiful because Like I just mentioned, some of us, we attach our happiness to our level of iman. If our iman is high, we're feeling good, we feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to us, then we're happy, we're content, right? But then when our iman is low, now we feel like Allah has forsaken us, that He's not answering our du'as, that nothing of our deeds are being accepted. So now we're not happy, even though we still have iman, we're still praying, we're still making du'a, we're still doing all these things, even though it doesn't feel as good. The fact that you're still doing it and you recognize it and you're still trying, that's sincerity. And then subhanAllah, when it comes to your time, sometimes we waste it so much. Sometimes we focus so much on what entertains us or what keeps us preoccupied that we don't notice that these are actually things taking us away from what we actually want, from the du'as that we're actually asking for, right? How do you become a person who's worthy of the du'a that you're asking for if you spend all your time scrolling on social media, or if you spend all your time wasting like your days? And there's actually a hadith Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about him being time. He is time, and that we revile him. Like we waste him off. We don't regard him at all. Even though he gave you the sun and the moon, he gave you these things that are swimming in an orbit. SubhanAllah, the way he talks about in Surah Yasin, how the sun and the moon, they orbit around each other, right, till fixed points in time, right? You have the sun for a little bit, you have the moon for a little bit. And he tells you, for those people who come up during the middle of the night and they call out to him, they're seeking his mercy, SubhanAllah.
I want you to understand something. Did any scholar living on earth right now say, Rabbi Zidni Ilma, 150,000 times in their room and not open a book? Did any person who's unmarried or doesn't have a job say, Rabbi inni lima anzalti ilayya min khayrin faqeer, like 100,000 times and just sat in their room doing nothing? You know, just sitting there scrolling on their phones? No, you make the dua and then you also tie that with your best action. You know what I mean? And it just also ties back to the story of the camel. Like, at the end of the day, yes, you rely upon Allah. You make dua to Allah, but you have to do your best. You have to put some sort of effort in. You know what I mean? Because that's something that we lack. Because a lot of people are just like, all right, let me just make a certain type of dua. Oh, my life didn't change. What have you done? What have you done to change that? Like, I understand, like, okay, yeah, you made a dua. Like, that's a good first step. But you have to at least put some effort in on your end.
And it's the first thing, or they blame anything else other than themselves. The first thing to blame is anything other than themselves. And it's like, it reminds me of, I believe it was in Uhud. The people, they said, like, oh, how could this befall us? And then SubhanAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's from yourselves. Surely Allah is over all things capable. Know that if you made dua for something sincerely and you tried your absolute best, then it just wasn't meant to reach you. And there's something better for you waiting for you. But know that, like, if you fell short, like, sometimes you have to take accountability. Perhaps I was sinning too much. Perhaps I didn't do my best. Perhaps, because you might think you're doing like the absolute best, but like, use reason. Did you really every single day? That's all you thought about.
Dude, I love this idea of accountability. And it's not, no, sometimes, like, no, all the time. You got to take accountability all the time. Something, if you're not where you want to be, or certain things are happening to you that you don't like, then you understand you have a big role to play in that. All right? You were the biggest role to play in that because it was because of you.
SubhanAllah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted us with the time that he gave us on earth. And for some of us, we think that our time is not a blessing, right? We don't take advantage of it. We don't utilize it to the best of our abilities, right? And I'm not saying you have to spend your entire days just in ibadah, but it's more like making your actions ibadah, right? Making the things that you do on a daily basis worship. If you spend a lot of your time scrolling upon social media, using your phone and not doing things that can benefit you, right? Like learning a new skill for whatever job you want to go seek, or if whatever you're studying in school, right? Learning more, right? And it's something that you used to tell me, like whenever you were training for your job, you were out here reading the books that they were giving you, you were attending these classes. And I'm like, dang, see, that's a real dude that wants to succeed. He wants to be better than everybody in his workplace. He wants to be the best version of himself in the job that he's doing, because that's what ihsan is. Right, a lot of us think that ihsan is just worshiping Allah as if you see him, but it's also with everything you do. You do everything in your life as if Allah is right there in front of you. Because if Allah was right there in front of you, you wouldn't be sitting here half-assing your jobs or half-assing whatever you want to do in life. Because if Allah gave you an ability to do something, then you're going to go ahead and do it to the best of your ability if Allah was right there telling you can do this. Because he trusted you with this ability.
And it honestly makes no sense that you go into something, you want to be good at it, you want to succeed in it, and you just don't do your best at it. It's just the thing people are always like, and this is something that Andrew Tate said, right? And like, I like the way that he put this, because in all honesty, it's true. Oh, I tried my best. I didn't do it. No, you didn't. Because if you really tried your best, you will make it work at the end of the day. Like, you do your best. There's no way that you can fail, because, you know, it might not be that certain thing, but you're going to at least get something else out of it.
SubhanAllah, it makes me think, this Ramadan is the Ramadan. We're giving up all the scrolling. We're giving up. We're going to go absolutely every single day, trying our absolute best. Because think about it, in Ramadan, it should be the easiest. We're going to truly fast. We're going to fast away from the bad talk, the bad language. And think about it, bro. It was something that Yusuf said to us last week. He said that, think about it, people are so happy in Ramadan because they're doing what they were created to do. Everybody's worshiping Ramadan. Everybody's happy. Everybody's in the mosque. All the families are happy. Everyone's having dinner.
Dude, I hate to break it to you. You say this every single year.
But even dudes, like, yeah, you see even people who you've never seen at the mosque before, they're at the mosque during Ramadan. And I'm like, I'm like, you know, that shows like, okay, that's real devotion right there. But we should be striving for this outside of Ramadan as well.
Look, speaking of on that, like what I just told this brother here, oh, you say this every single year. For those Muslims out there, and they actually say this every single year, because I've been seeing a lot of memes about this on Instagram. Point of view, that one bro, 10 days before Ramadan. But honestly speaking, if they're actually trying to change themselves, why are you hating on that? Why are you laughing at them because of that?
It's not a joke.
Because at the end of the day, this person, all right, they might have not done so well last year, but who knows? They might actually be trying to do a lot better this year, because all it takes is that one day, that one day when you really decide to change for it to transform your life forever. Because we all start from somewhere. There's no way that we came in here perfect and that we're just going to get perfect in one day. No, like, it's honestly a process. And we all have our certain points of realization whenever we decide to get better.
SubhanAllah, if you actually knew like the blessing of Ramadan, you know that when that Ramadan, it holds a Laylatul Qadr. And Laylatul Qadr, right? The word Qadr, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make a dua on that day, right? You catch that day and that dua, it can change everything that's ever been written for you. Right? Exactly. It can change whatever qadr Allah had decreed before. It could change it for you right then and there.
And look at the blessings and the mercy. It's like, bro, all it takes is one dua. You could have sinned. You could have done everything your entire life, but all it took was one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you for that. He's ar-Rahman. That's mercy. All it took was one step, and it's like, dang, you changed your life forever. The direction you completely made a left turn, it's like, subhanAllah.
And here's a challenge that I pose to everyone out there, is to get more involved in the Quran. Of course, this is the month of the Quran, right? We know Ramadan to be the month that the Quran was revealed. But if you think about the Quran in a different light, the way that we've ever mentioned that if I told you to wake up at certain times, or if I told you to answer the phone at certain times in the day, and I'll give you everything you've ever wanted, that's the same thing with the prayer. But with the Quran, it's like, if I told you there's a book that will give you everything you ever wanted. It'll teach you every single life lesson you ever need to be successful. And if you just adhere to this book right here, there's nothing that will ever befall you that you won't know how to deal with. There's nothing that you can ever learn or ever do. As long as you adhere to this book and you won't be successful, then you would read that book, you would memorize that book. But when we tell you it's the Quran, it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're like, nah, I don't need it so much. I'm good with knowing just Surah Ikhlas and Surah Al-Asr. Like, no, it's okay if that's the only thing you memorize, but why not read the rest of the book? There are non-Muslims out there who sit here, they read the book in like 10 days, just reading it straight just to learn, what does the Quran say? What does God say in this book? Why do people say this is the book of God? But then we have people who are born Muslims, people who've like known Islam their whole life, and they're struggling to read this book, subhanAllah. The book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you for free. Gave you as a mercy. He sent it as a mercy to the mankind.
He gave it to you. It really was for free.
Yeah. Like, he gave it to you for free, and he allowed its preservation. He allowed it to get compiled into a book. Imagine, like, if Allah didn't said it was not going to be compiled into a book.
Like,
right?
SubhanAllah, sometimes I think it's like, bro, whenever the Quran, remember we went and we did a video. We went and we did a video at a restaurant, right? And we did a food review. I remember Yusuf was with us, and he was reciting Quran. In front of that, like in the whole restaurant, and one of the workers came up to him. He said, "Bro, like my eyes are tearing. Like I can't. Like it just makes you think about like the Quran is unlike anything we've ever had before. It's like, subhanAllah, nations before, like, they never had something like this. And it's like, subhanAllah, we've been blessed with the Quran. We as a nation, we got the Quran. We became the best of nations. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got the Quran. He became the best of prophets. Subhanallah.
Exactly. And I tell you this just because like." It's something that we've probably all struggled with in our lives, is to open up the Quran at certain times, especially if you're not someone who's actively like working on your hifz or trying to memorize the Quran. But the fact that you've seen over 1,400 years of people trying to put the Quran into translation, going about and, you know, compiling the tafsir, like the meanings of every single verse in detail, finding the ahadith that go with certain verses. And we sit here and we neglect that. We neglect this remembrance of Allah. The best thing that we can do to remember Allah is to read the Quran. Because that is His word, truly. That is the book, maybe right in front of you, you may be able to open it, but it's uncreated. The contents of this book are uncreated. You have to really think about that. These things were not created. These things were spoken out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you were created. This table was created. Everything that we see around us, that's been created. But that book, that's uncreated. And if you know that, that's like an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the speech of Allah, it's an attribute of Him, then you should see the honor that you have to be able to open this book and find love for being able to read it. And then looking at its words and being able to find a message in it and be like, dang, bro, this applies to my life.
And subhanAllah, you also think about it, you know, you go to Mecca or Medina or you go to any mosque and you'll hear the Quran be recited. You'll see grown men, big, tall, strong, small, weak. It doesn't matter. Grown men, and like, and you just see the tears coming down, the tears flowing. And it's like, subhanAllah, if you can, like, I sometimes, like, you should low-key feel like a sense of like envy. Like, why can't you feel what they feel, subhanAllah? Like, you should really be questioning yourself. Why can't you feel that? Like, subhanAllah, am I lacking? Am I sinning? I got to say astaghfirullah. It's like, subhanAllah.
It's actually something that you, both of you said once. Like, so you said, if you want to be the best version of yourself, why don't you look to the Quran? And then you also said, it's nice to listen to the Quran because these reciters, you know, they have beautiful voices, but that's not enough for you to actually get that actual benefit of the Quran. And I started thinking about that for myself because I'd be listening to the Quran when I go to the gym and stuff. But then I was just like, I'm just listening to it. Like, I know the words, but then I was like, do I really know the meaning? So then I started opening it up, reading it like on my phone while I'm driving and stuff so that I can actually get the meaning. And then I'll see verses and I'm like, damn, bro, this really applies to my life. Like, these lessons really apply to me right now. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, that's actually so true because, yeah, there's been times like you're listening to it. You can like, you know, you understand like the meaning, but then you open it up and you're reading it and then you're just like, wow, subhanAllah. Like, then it just opens up a whole new lens for you. Or even like when you hear a different reciter reciting a different way, that also opens up another lens for you. SubhanAllah, bro. Like, it's just the Quran. You know what I mean? Facts, like, bro. That's just what it does to you. Every single time you open it up, like, you should love that feeling of, oh, okay, every time I open this up, it feels like I'm getting better. Every time I open this up, it feels like I'm taking this in a different way. Every time I'm opening it up, I'm learning a lot more. Every time I open this, I feel myself getting better.
If you really understand the timelessness of the Quran, then you'll know that every single time you open it, you can get a new lesson, even if you've read the same surah over and over and over again. Even if you memorize it, right? There's always something new to take out of it. Because for one, we know the Quran as a remembrance, right? It's not just something that you're going to continuously learn or memorize. It's also a dhikr, right? It's a dhikr, right? So it's remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So meaning, there's the verse in there. The reminder benefits the believer. So the more that you read it, right? You might go on, not have read a surah for a long time, but then you read it, you're going through a certain situation, and boom, there's a verse right in that surah that applies to your life right now. Or it talks about like a lesson of people before, and you're like, damn, bro, I don't want to be like them. Or dang, I feel like this situation is me right now. Right? Or something like, you see how honored Musa alayhi salam is in the Quran. So many different lessons from his story that can apply to our lives today. Right? I use Musa alayhi salam's dua all the time. What is it called? رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي سَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ أُقَدَّةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Because I'll be recording videos. Sometimes I'll be messing up. I'll get frustrated. I'm like, damn, bro, you don't know how to speak? Mm-hmm. And then I'll say the dua, subhanAllah. Then I'll say like everything I wanted to say in the video without messing up at all. I'm like, damn, bro. That's the simple lesson right here. The simple dua that Musa alayhi salam said. We think that it's simple, but look at the power of it, right? Look at the amount of du'as that you can find in the Quran that you can just simply say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you even further. We don't think that, like we were talking about before, we don't think that our du'as are, you know, as big as they actually are. But someone was telling me yesterday, they were like, you should make du'a for big stuff and small stuff because you can be a little delusional when it comes to du'a because there's no such thing as impossible for Allah. So it's like, if you make du'a simply just for you to have a good workout that day, even though you work out every single day, you lift weights every single day, but now you did it with barakah. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you know that this workout you're going to do, you're doing it for the sake of Allah because you've already rectified your intention by seeking Allah's bounty in this workout you're going to do. If I'm going to go to school, oh Allah, like allow the school day to be good for me, right? So you're going to do good on your assignments. You're going to make sure you're paying attention. Your attention span's not going to go, oh Allah, let this be a good work day for me, right? So for you as a salesman, you probably make more sales than you did yesterday. SubhanAllah. Now you know that this day was better for you.
And it really, like, I remember I started making du'as like that, and it made me focus less on the result and more just about the work and more just about gaining experience. Win or lose, it's either you win or you learn. It's like more about, I get this experience. Like, I tried my absolute best. I made the dua and I did my absolute best. I put my mind to it. If I'm not even worried about a result at this point. I experienced this. It's like, and it's more about building yourself in life. You know, it's like, especially if we're in our younger years, it's okay to fail right now. And then subhanAllah, important though is that we don't neglect Allah.
Actually, I told the same about this last week. Dude, there was a day I was getting so frustrated. I talked like a few different people that day, and it just felt like everybody was wasting my time. I was getting so mad, right? So I remember I walk out to the back, right? I start making a step fall, and then it in that sense, right? I just started making a whole bunch of it to the point where I wasn't even counting it no more, and like I got that sense of ease where it's just like, you know what? I just don't really care now because mm-hmm. I already know I'm gonna be good. Mm-hmm. I come back. I had two of the biggest sales later that night. Literally same exact day. And then the next day, those people I felt like were wasting my time, they came back, and it's just like, wow, subhanAllah. Like, in that moment, I just really said stuff for Allah, and I just put all my worries to Allah.
Like, you see, like, yeah, exactly. You put your worries to Allah, Allahu Akbar. The way that you mentioned that, and I hope people like actually take heed of what Usman just said. Like, you put your worries to Allah, because, you know, there are going to be things that are going to frustrate you. They're going to make you mad. There are things that you, like, you feel like you can control, because we always feel like we want to be in control. That's the best thing that we can do, is when we feel like we're in control. We feel like we're in control of our destiny, of our days, of everything that we do, right? But then as soon as something we can't control befalls us, now it's a hardship. Now it's a struggle, because we're like, damn, bro, what am I supposed to do, right? And then when you realize, oh, I can just look to Allah, because Allah's meant to lighten my burdens. He's not meant to make it harder on me. So me looking to Allah, that's never going to make it harder for you. You're only going to make it harder on yourself by turning away from Allah, thinking that, oh, let me find a different way to control the situation, rather than go to the one who's fully in control, who's over all things capable. When you think of huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, right? Allah is over all things capable. So once you realize that, and you know, it's easy for Allah. It's not even something it's that Allah needs. It's not difficult, yeah. Right? Allah tells you multiple places in the Quran, kun fayakun, be and it is. Meaning Allah, it's no effort for him to do something to help you out, right? Mm-hmm. As long as you look to him.
Yep.
Simply saying, astaghfirullah. Allah knows exactly, like, what's in your heart. He knows that, okay, Allah, forgive me for being frustrated with this situation.
And then you start realizing that this life that you're living, this story, it's really about you. What are you going to do? Like, subhanAllah, this is all over, Allah is over all things capable and over all things, like, it's easy for him. And, you know, it makes me think about, like, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran, when they, like, it was, I've already brought this up. Surely he is over all things capable. And they protested. They said, how could this happen? What is this? Like, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran, وَلَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not fear and do not grieve, and you guys are the ones with the higher ground if you were believers. Mm-hmm. If you believed, if you had that faith, you know, and it's subhanAllah, people, I'm going to give you an abstract view of faith. If you have that faith, the result is uncertain. This is life or death. But if you have faith, which is so strong, it's like, أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You guys have the higher ground. The faith that you have is going to take you, it's going to make you think, do the biggest things on the biggest stages, because you believe that you can do nothing else. You believe that you can do anything now.
Matter of fact, yes. Just speaking about that, I was watching a video. It was yesterday, though. So you're talking about, you know, how we shouldn't fear anything, right? As a believer, you shouldn't fear anything, and not even other people, right? Because what's the worst thing they can do is inflict Allah's will upon you. That's it. And what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You die? People kill you? Like, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, we weren't meant to be here forever. You were meant to serve your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. SubhanAllah. And then if when Allah's will is afflicted, like, are you displeased with that? Like, are you really going to sit here and tell me you're displeased with Allah's decree, all-knowing, all-seeing, Ar-Rahman?
Just imagine everything that happens to you is Allah's will.
Exactly.
Every single thing that happens. Like, not even a leaf falls from a tree and Allah doesn't know about it. So just think about it. All your situations, I know you be sitting there, you get frustrated, you feel like you have so much work to do, especially like if you're a person in school, you have to do this work, this assignment, you have to be here, you have to be there, and it feels like Allah, but just imagine Allah controls everything. Like, that is nothing to him. Like, your problems to Allah can, like you said earlier, it's easy for him to just go ahead and just solve it for you. Because, like, just imagine Allah, he controls everything. Everything Allah is in all control, and just look at you, like, little thing in the earth, and yet Allah helps you out.
Like, we sometimes you think you're insignificant, but really, like, man, if you make Allah significant in your life, he's gonna make you significant.
Yeah,
subhanAllah. And the last thing, just when you think about Allah's will, think about the ending of this hadith, which talks about the pen has been lifted and the pages have dried. Right. So whatever Allah has decreed, it's already been decreed. Right. Of course, there are du'as that you may be able to make that can, you know, change your qadr. You're never going to know, though, because this may have been your qadr the entire time. Whatever this dua is that you asked for, that may have been your qadr the whole time. You getting it, you not getting it, you getting on the day of judgment, whatever it may be, that may have been your thing the whole time. But you having this belief that your dua is really that powerful, right? Because you think the best of Allah, right? As long as you remember this hadith that where Allah himself said, I am what my slave thinks of me. If you think better of Allah, Allah will think better of you, right? If you are with Allah, Allah is with you. Think of yourself as someone who is significant in the eyes of Allah. Because if you think Allah is significant, you think him above all things, right? If you give Allah his due grandeur, the way he mentions in the Quran, right? Why would Allah not honor you with blessing you with more than you could ever imagine in your own life? But back to the lesson of this entire, you know, podcast, how can Allah honor you if you dishonor yourself? if you dishonor the time that he's given you, if you dishonor the blessings he's giving you by doing something like wasting your time on social media, listening to things that really don't benefit you, questioning his decree, questioning his messenger, right? Questioning those people who try to give you advice or try to guide you in a way that you feel like you're in a better position than you actually are, right? Really, when we humble ourselves, we have some humility, then we'll question ourselves rather than question the people around us, rather exactly. than question our situation.
And, bro, that humbleness is so underrated because it takes you to a place where your life really becomes about you. And each day you take that humble approach where how can I do more? Because you understand that the relationship between you and Allah is that of a slave and his master. Like, if you really think about it, Isa alayhi salam said, "Qala inni abdullah," I'm a slave of Allah. So imagine what you like. You're a slave as well, and you have to work like that. And you have to, bro, you know, when things befall you, like, qadarullah, like this is it. Like, subhanAllah. Don't be that person. One minute detail. One, like, you're just a little bit hungry. Now the whole world has to feel like your anger. Like, come on,
dude. Yeah, exactly. All the prophets were slaves of Allah.
Yeah.
Just imagine, like, even part of a shahada. Like, we know, say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a slave of Allah. Isa alayhi salam, he said he was a slave of Allah. And like, this is someone who people worship as a god. Like, yeah, I want you to imagine that. Like, the non-Muslims, like, astaghfirullah, like, they worship him, and yet he's saying he's a slave of Allah. And yet, you, who are you to think, you know, you're so much better than somebody?
One of the first things he said, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
He affirmed that as a child.
And he said it, I was going to say, in the cradle.
And I want to like, end off this podcast with this point. Umar ibn al-Khattab said that we were a people who were disgraced, and Allah honored us with Islam. And if we were to seek honor through anything else, then we would certainly be disgraced again.
Yep.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's a lesson we should all take going into Ramadan. Of course, it's the most blessed month, but just remember that with this blessed month comes so many more blessings throughout the year. Like, the time that you have is a blessing in and of itself. Don't be of those people who are wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Don't be of those who are in loss, right? Because actually, Imam Shafi said about that surah, that would have been sufficient as a guidance for mankind. So if you think of that, you think of how significant, you know, those words are in and of itself. It, like, it's such a small surah, but the messaging and the weight of it is so large because of how it applies to us today. Because we actually are in loss with all the time that's going by us, right? And actually, if you think about, I know you know this, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the three different types of groups, right? Mm-hmm. The forerunners, the people of the right, and the people of the left. The forerunners are only few of this generation, or a few of the later generations. When I saw that, bro, I almost wanted to cry, because I was like, dang, bro. The forerunners, they're the highest of the high. They're the people who, they strove in the cause of Allah for their like whole life as best as they could.
And it's like, those, like, the people who are ahead, like, subhanAllah. Yes. And imagine being like, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're called the people, like, who are al-sabiqun, the people who are far ahead.
Yeah, like the forerunners. And I was like, dang, bro, Allah talks about only a few of the later generations. And I was like, dang, bro, we still want to be of those as much as we can. You know, the forerunners are those people who strive in the cause of Allah over and over and over again, right? And we don't want to be of those of the companions of the left. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But with that, that's going to close out this podcast, inshallah. Inshallah, you took some benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow every single person who's watching, who's listening to this, to see Ramadan, to make the most out of Ramadan, to come out better than they were before. And if you have the ability to share or to donate to help our brothers and sisters in Sudan, please do so. May Allah reward you for even, you know, having the intention to do good or to spread the good. But with that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. We're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.